Are you ready, all you fans out there in out there land? I say it's time again. Have mercy, let the congregation say, hey, man. It's time for the biggest, baddest party in the world. So get on up, turn it up a notch, and get ready to boogie, baby. Ow!
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Anago to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Alex Cook.
Welcome to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Great to have you along here on this wonderful Wednesday evening. On today's show, we're going to talk about what Giannis Antetokounmpo's extension and with the Bucks means for Milwaukee's championship window. We'll also preview their 2023-24 season. Also, we will have Tomahawk head cross-country coach Connor Aaron stop by to recap the 2023 season, and I'll break down what needs to change specifically in Green Bay. But first, we are going to begin in Madison. Now allow me to just sit back and say, I'm going to kick things off with a round of applause. That is for Badger redshirt freshman quarterback Braden Locke. He didn't wow everyone with his play. He didn't have the highest completion percentage, but he made plays when he needed to against an Illinois team that had Wisconsin's number last year and against a coach that had Wisconsin's number last year in Brett Bielema. Good news, good thing for Wisconsin. You finally were able to exact revenge on somebody that was a part of your program at one point or another in its history. Kudos to them. Badgers came back from down 14 in the fourth quarter, knock off Illinois 25-21 on Saturday. And it was a game where I think that everyone knew that it was going to be a tall task coming back from 14, especially with a redshirt freshman quarterback. But again, kudos to Braden Locke. He played very well, especially in the fourth quarter of that game. 18 points in the fourth quarter from Wisconsin, including two touchdown passes from Locke, which ultimately were the difference in that game. Locke's final stats, 21 of 41, 240 yards and two touchdowns. And the one thing I'll bring up also, when that Wisconsin offense was effective, it was very effective, especially during when they went no huddle. Because that was when they moved right down the field and put points on the scoreboard. The first touchdown that they put up was from Braylon Allen, who, by the way, had a productive day. 29 carries, 145 yards, and a touchdown. That's what I want to see from Braylon Allen. That's what I want to see Luke Fickell and Phil Longo do with that new Wisconsin offense. Keep giving him the ball. And the one thing I will say also, it was very, very concerning to me, especially when Wisconsin was ransacked with penalties in the first quarter. They had six total in the game. I think five or all of them, as a matter of fact, came in the first quarter. After that, they settled down, especially Locke. They settled down and played their game. Will Pauling had a coming out party for Wisconsin as well. Seven catches, 95 yards and a score. And I don't think that anyone had, if somebody had Hayden Rucci catching a game-winning touchdown on your bingo card, I would take you down to the casino. If you had the fact that his brother, Nico Rucci, who's a backup offensive lineman, would catch a touchdown pass, I would buy 10 lottery tickets and guarantee myself to win at least $1 million every single time. That is a good luck charm. That goes to show you the kind of craziness you could get here with Wisconsin sports. You can never guess what you get here. I mean, my God. That's also one of the best comebacks from the Badgers in recent history. It's the first 14-point comeback in Big Ten play for Wisconsin since back in 2018 when they came back to beat Purdue in triple overtime. That was a big night from Jonathan Taylor as well. And I'm going to go ahead and go back to Locke again. I keep going back to him, because that is how you make a statement in your first start. Now, this guy, obviously, if you missed it, he's a prototypical quarterback. He ran the air raid offense in high school, and he also learned under it Mike Leach last year, God rest his soul, at Mississippi State. So he is very familiar with this type of offense. And with him there, that leads me to believe that he could be the starter for the Badgers once Tanner Mordecai graduates. I know it's a tall order and it's after one game, but he's shown the potential to do that. And that is a big turnaround from where they were last week, losing to Iowa. And I think the turning point in that game, and I know that it was still up in the air. It was 21-10 when this happened, so I knew that there was a chance that Wisconsin would come back, especially with how much time was left. But the turning point in the game was the Zerjan Newton ejection on the roughing the passer penalty, on the targeting penalty on Locke in that fourth quarter. That changed the whole complexion for that Illinois defense. And they look like a deer in headlights in that fourth quarter. Locke making key plays, key completions to Skylar Bell, big completions to Will Pauling. That touchdown catch by Will Pauling is probably the best catch a Badger receiver has made all season long. It was a good performance overall. Now, Locke proved that he could be the starter once Mordecai graduates. It's a tall order to ask, and it's only one game. But that is how you make a statement in your first start. Braden Locke could very well be the starting quarterback for the Badgers for the rest of this season if Mordecai ends up not coming back from his hand injury that he sustained last week. And again, Locke threw the ball 30 times last week. It wasn't like that they threw him in and essentially told him to hand the ball off to Braylon Allen and Jensen Acker last week. They wanted him to throw the ball. They wanted him to try and get as comfortable as they could. He was very comfortable, especially in the fourth quarter of that particular game. Now, what does this mean for Wisconsin going forward? Do I think that they'll win the Big Ten West? It's very hard to say, especially after they lost to Iowa. If they beat Iowa last week, I would say yes. However, the fact that they lost to them, especially at home, that puts them behind the eight ball. I know they're first to the Big Ten West, but that will put them behind the eight ball. And they've got Ohio State this week. This is the largest underdog the Badgers have been at home in over 30 years. In order for Wisconsin to keep their hopes alive, this is a must. Every game from here on out is going to be a must-win game. Every single game from here on out is going to be a must-win game. Iowa still owns a tiebreaker, even though they lost to Minnesota, which I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I know that everyone out there is Badger fans, but that was not a fair catch from Iowa. Sorry, it wasn't. Iowa should have won that game. The fact that they got jobbed by the officials is a crime there. With the way the Big Ten West is shaping out, Wisconsin could still get into the Big Ten title game at the end of the season. Now, how much will that get them? I don't know. That'll at least give the team confidence to maybe get back into contention. Because remember, I'll go back to it. I said this when Fickell was hired before the beginning of the season. His first year, Cincinnati's record was 4-8. 4-8. And that's not great. He needed to build the program. And once that program got built, it was one of, if not the best small school program consistently, arguably, in the nation. The only other school that would compete with that is Central Florida and Boise State as well. Boise State, when they had Kellen Moore winning games left and right for them, and UCF, when they were winning God knows how many games and putting up huge numbers offensively with Blake Bortles at quarterback. So if you want to go ahead and look at the fact that this could be a turning point in the Badgers for the season, I am all for it. They have to beat Ohio State, though, this week, which is a tall task. Ohio State has not been beaten this year. They have clutch wins over Penn State and also over Notre Dame. The Badgers are going to have to play A-plus ball if they are going to beat Ohio State. And that may not be enough. What I'll look for, though, this week is for two things. One, can they be competitive? If they compete with Ohio State and tank it all the way down to the final seconds, that is about as close to a mortal victory as you can get. If they get their butts kicked and lose 49-0, then we know how far we have to go. This game is going to tell us a lot about the Badger program going forward. And I hope, I pray, that it's positive. Now back to Locke. Locke does need to play slightly better. Obviously with the number three team in the nation coming into town. But if he plays better than he did against Illinois, I think Wisconsin has a legitimate shot to pull off the upset. Now, Locke can't go 21 for 41. He is probably going to have to go 29 or 30 for 41 if Wisconsin is going to have a shot to win this game. He's going to have to put up 300 passing yards, and Braylon Allen will have to rush for 150 yards if they pull off the upset. Do I think it's possible? Yes. Anything is possible in the world of sports. But again, this game is going to tell us a lot about where Wisconsin will go from here. Kudos to Braden Locke. Played a great game, though. Let's go ahead and take a look at the top 25 results from this past weekend. We had number 3, Ohio State, knocking off number 7, Penn State, 20-12. Number 22, Air Force, knocking off Navy, 17-6. Number 6, Oklahoma, over UCF, 31-29. Number 9, Oregon, over Washington State, 38-24. Number 11, Alabama, over number 17, Tennessee, 34-20. Number 20, Missouri, over South Carolina, 34-12. Number 24, Iowa, upset by Minnesota, 12-10. Number 23, Tulane, 35. North Texas, 28. Number 8, Texas, 31. Houston, 24. And this was the biggest upset of the week. Virginia going into number 10, North Carolina, and knocking them off 31-27.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Number 13, Ole Miss, knocking off Auburn, 28-21. Number 16, Duke hung tight with Florida State for about three quarters, and then the fourth quarter, the Seminoles pulled away 38-20. Number 19, LSU shuts out Army 62-0. Number 2, Michigan shuts out Michigan State 49-0. Number 14, Utah with a win over number 18, USC 34-32. A phenomenal performance from the Utes. They have now won four straight over Utah and Caleb Williams. Number 5, Washington knocks off Arizona State on a controversial pass interference call, 15-7. And number 25, UCLA knocking off Stanford, 42-7. Top 25 matchups for this week. Number 6, Oklahoma. They have the big noon kickoff game on Fox against Kansas. That'll be at 11. Number 4, Florida State at Wake Forest. Number 10, Penn State against Indiana. Number 1, Georgia is in Florida. And we have two top 25 matchups back-to-back.
Are you ready for some football?
Number 20, Duke at number 18, Louisville.
Are you ready for some football?
And number 8, Oregon at number 13, Utah. Number 7, Texas at home against BYU. Number 14, Notre Dame has Pittsburgh. Number 24, USC travels to California. Number 22, Tulane is at Rice. Number 21, Tennessee at Kentucky. Number 5, Washington at Stanford. Number 19, Air Force at Colorado State. Colorado at number 23, UCLA. Number 12, Ole Miss at home against Vanderbilt. Number 3, Ohio State at Wisconsin. Number 25, a newcomer to the top 25 for the AP poll. That is James Madison.
Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind?
No, I am not crazy. Number 25, James Madison against Old Dominion. Number 17, North Carolina at Georgia Tech. And number 11, Oregon State is in Arizona. That's a look at college football across the landscape here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. This is the Sports Q. Coming up on the other side, I'll break down what needs to be fixed for Green Bay after their loss to the Broncos. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and local sports. You are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
The Goods Do It Express features a large selection of hunting products for the fall season. Check out Brian's selection of archery equipment, from crossbows to custom-cut arrows. Choose from a variety of tree stands, the muddy enclosed hunting blind and ladder stands, ammunition, scopes, deer scents, feeds, hunting clothing, boots, and so much more. The Goods Do It Express, North 4th Street, Tomahawk, ready for the fall hunting season.
Billy Bob's Sports Bar in Grantland invites you to dine in or carry out all your favorite menu selections, including soup, salad, sandwiches, wraps, and Chicago-style pizza. Happy hour is Monday through Thursday from 2 until 5. On Fridays, Billy Bob serves their fantastic fish fry all day, and Saturday it's prime rib with servings starting at 5 and while supplies last. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, County Highway L, north of Tomahawk, ready to serve you daily at 11 o'clock. It's Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill.
Do you have uncoated concrete? When concrete is left unprotected, moisture can combine with organic particles in the concrete's pores, which can lead to the growth of mold, mildew, and bacteria, which also can lead to negative health outcomes. Wisconsin Coating Specialist offers coatings that seal off pores and prevents moisture from penetrating the surface to provide you with a durable, clean, and beautiful surface for the whole family to enjoy. Call Wisconsin Coating Specialist for your free estimate, 715-298-9533. Wisconsin Coating Specialist, tough and beautiful.
We all have hopes, dreams, and goals for ourselves and our family. This is Rich Teggy with Wealth Strategy Group. Financial goals are no different than any other goal. It all starts with a plan. We know the importance of a solid financial plan focused on what's most important to you. We listen and take the time to understand your vision and create a strategy to pursue your specific dreams and goals. We would appreciate the opportunity to discuss your goals, understand your financial situation, and create a plan tailored to reaching your desired retirement lifestyle. Wealth Strategy Group is here to provide the assistance you need. Call us today at 453-0722 or access us on the web at wsginvest.com or stop by our office on North 4th Street in Tomahawk. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, SIPC.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here on this Wednesday evening, currently 5:48. Nothing wrong with a little bit of Van Halen. That's one of their biggest hits from when Sammy Hagar was the lead singer of the group right now. And right now, we're going to go ahead and dive into the Packers. There's a lot to get into, obviously, with this. Let's just go ahead and dive in, shall we? Okay, so before everyone goes haywire, let me go ahead and just recap this game really quickly. Packers lose to the Broncos 19-17 this past Sunday. Another disappointing performance, and I think that a lot of people, you know, kind of expected the way that this was going to go. Jordan Love, 180 yards, two touchdowns and a pick. Offense struggled mightily against shutout in the first half. They've only put up, I think, three first-half points in the last three games. Last four games, actually, after putting up, you know, 10 against Chicago and 14 against Atlanta. And again, you lost a lot of key players, especially on the defensive side. Devontae Wyatt was gone. Darnell Savage was gone. Eric Stokes left again. They were without Devondre Campbell. They were without Jair Alexander. That's essentially half your starting defense right there. And no wonder why you got a bunch of guys being called up from the practice squad to get this. But here's the thing. And I want everyone to pay attention with what I'm about to say here, okay? I understand that it is a frustrating season, okay? I remember saying at the beginning of the season, there's an expectation, which is probably 7 or 8 wins, a best case scenario, which was 10 wins, a division title, and potentially a home playoff game at Lambeau Field, at least a playoff berth. This season, at least through the first six games, is starting to go towards worst case scenario, which is 4 or 5 wins, team is injured all to hell, and Matt LaFleur and or Brian Gutekunst may end up getting fired. There are a lot of Packer fans, I'm not going to say who because I don't feel like singling anyone out at this point, but there are a lot of Packer fans that are criticizing Jordan Love and think that he is the issue and nobody else. And nobody else is to blame. There are a lot of fans that want to write Jordan Love's epitaph after 6 starts this season. 6 starts. We're not even halfway through the season yet. And people are already wanting to write his epitaph. Now, if he was performing to the level of how Nathan Peterman was in his NFL debut on a consistent basis, I would agree with you. This guy's in his first year starting. Don't give me the fact that he was sitting behind Rodgers for 3 years. Even Rodgers, he struggled in his first year. I mean, honestly, he struggled in his first year. He still threw for 4,000 yards, but he had 13 interceptions. He had two games of three or more picks. And the Packers went 6-10. Now, if you want to go ahead and sit here and say that Love hasn't been playing well, I'm all for it. I'm not going to defend him and say that, oh, he's been performing just fine. No, he needs to play better. But he's a young quarterback. People forget when he was drafted in the NFL. He was only 20. He's now 23. That's where he is. And here's what disappoints me about this. If these were a bunch of younger fans that were comparing Jordan Love to Aaron Rodgers, I would just sit here and I would tell everyone, calm down, relax. We knew that there was going to be a rebuilding year. We just have to wait and see what holds. The thing that's ticking me off about this is that there are a lot of older Packer fans that are saying that Jordan Love is not the guy. Do you really want to go through 30 more years of essentially irrelevance? Do you want to go through that? Do you want to go through the 70s and 80s again? Because by all means, educate us. The Packers have been spoiled for Hall of Fame quarterback play for 30 years. And the minute that a quarterback stops playing poorly, or stops playing well, if you will, everyone thinks that he should be benched and they should be putting in Sean Clifford. I got news for you. I have news for you. It's not going to be better. As a matter of fact, it may end up being worse. If you want to go ahead and point the blame elsewhere, and I said this 7 years ago, when Aaron Rodgers was without Jordy Nelson in 2015, the Packers are a terribly run organization and nobody seems to care. Everybody wants to point the finger at Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur. Why not point the finger also at Brian Gutekunst and Mark Murphy for not being able to surround him with quality talent or veterans that knew their role? There's a reason why Mercedes Lewis is no longer there. There's a reason why Robert Tonyan is no longer there. There's a reason why Greg Jennings went to Minnesota. And I'm going to go ahead and just frame this for you here, because I have a list here for you. Since 2015, the Packers have had 30 top 100 picks. That's from picks 1 to 100 in the NFL draft. 30. You know how many of those are hits? Four. Four of them are. Now, 10 of them are still yet to be determined because they're all first or second year players. But 16 of them are misses. Here are the misses. Damarius Randall, Quentin Rollins, Ty Montgomery, Jason Spriggs, Kyler Fackrell, Kevin King, Josh Jones, Montrevious Adams, Josh Jackson, Oren Burks, who, by the way, is playing well in San Francisco right now, Darnell Savage, Jay Sternberger, and yes, I'm putting A.J. Dillon in this because he was supposed to be a starting running back if Aaron Jones ended up leaving, and he's not. Jay Sternberger, Josiah DeGuara, Josh Myers, and Amari Rodgers, all of those are misses. If 50% of your top 100 draft picks are misses, I'm sorry, you should not be an NFL general manager. Period. End of story. These are the 10 that have yet to be determined, and these are all within the last 2 years. Lucas Van Ness, Luke Musgrave, Jaden Reed, Tucker Kraft, Quay Walker, Devontae Wyatt, Christian Watson, Sean Ryan, Eric Stokes, and Jordan Love is also clumped in there because he sat for 3 years behind Aaron Rodgers. So the jury's still out on him. In 30 top 100 picks, four of them are hits. The four hits, Rashawn Gary, Kenny Clark, Jair Alexander, and Elgin Jenkins. If you want to go ahead and point to the fact that Green, that it's been a collective, and again, this is a young team. This is a very young team. They're the youngest team in the NFL. When you're young and you're injured, that is a deadly combination. A very deadly combination. And everyone wants to point the finger at Jordan Love. But you've only had four picks that have hit in the top 100 over the last 8 years. Okay. You want to go ahead and point the finger at Jordan Love? He's not going to be Patrick Mahomes coming out of the gate. He's not going to be Ben Roethlisberger coming out of the gate. He's not going to be Peyton Manning coming out of the gate. Or Tom Brady, for crying out loud. Even Brady had to sit for a couple of years. You want to go ahead and point the finger at Love and say that he's not playing well? That's fine. But to say that he's the only issue in Green Bay right now, to me, is disrespectful. Give the kid a chance. I know that I'm ranting here and I've been going on for a long time. I know that I'm the kind of person that's passionate about my sports. Anyone that has met me knows that I love Wisconsin sports. Period, plain and simple. It's why I started getting into sports radio. And a lot of fans are just pointing to the fact that Jordan Love is the only issue. He's not the only issue. You want to point to Joe Barry and the fact that his run defense has been soft? Well, the run defense has been bad ever since Green Bay won the Super Bowl. That's not a new issue. Aaron Rodgers had to deal with below-average coaching in Mike McCarthy, and now Jordan Love has to deal with below-average coaching in Matt LaFleur. Think about that for a second. And I go back to this. And this is my final thing, and I promise I'll let this go. What in the world did Matt LaFleur do to get the head coaching job in Green Bay? What did he do? Enlighten me. Yes, he was the offensive coordinator under Sean McVay, but that was in 2017. In 2018, when he was coordinating his own offense, which was the Tennessee Titans, that had Marcus Mariota and Derrick Henry in the backfield, they were 28th in the NFL. Bottom five. And people are sitting here thinking that he's a good coach. It's a disaster in Green Bay right now. I don't know what there is to fix it. Typically, up until this point, winning solves all. The Packers are 2-4 this season. And I haven't even gotten into the fact that they're easily 2 missed field goals and 11 interception away from being 5-1. And everybody would be all right with the world. It's a mess in Green Bay. Everyone would say, oh, everything is all right with the world. If Green Bay was 5-1, they would be exceeding expectations, as a matter of fact. But nobody wants to talk about the fact that the Packers are a terribly run organization. I've been saying this for the last 8 years. It's not just Jordan Love. It's not just Matt LaFleur. It's not just Joe Barry. It's the whole organization that includes Brian Gutekunst and Mark Murphy. If Mark Murphy retired today, I don't think any Packers fan would bat an eye. You want to go ahead and get at me on Twitter? Go ahead. I can take it. I'm sorry for going off on a rant like that, but my goodness, I'm really sick and tired of people saying that Jordan Love is not the guy when he's 6 games in. Give the kid a break. Just about time to head into CBS News. Coming up on the flip side of CBS News, we'll be chatting with Tomahawk head cross-country coach Connor Ahrens. We'll also preview the Bucks' regular season and Giannis' contract extension, and I'll also make my NFL Week 8 predictions. All that coming up on the Sports Q. Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk, 53 degrees and 6 o'clock. Now time for CBS News.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods. You're listening to the Sports Q with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks. The House has a new speaker.
The Honorable Mike Johnson of the state of Louisiana, having received a majority of the votes cast, is duly elected Speaker of the House of Representatives.
After weeks of infighting, Louisiana's Mike Johnson got elected today. CBS's Skylar Henry checked out his voting record.
He held on to his conservative principles while still winning over the moderates.
We have to sacrifice sometimes our preferences because that's what's necessary in a legislative body. But we will defend our core principles to the end.
Johnson's record shows he voted against certifying the 2020 presidential election, voted against legalizing same-sex marriage, and in May, he voted against a Ukraine aid package.
Johnson says his first order of business is getting aid to Israel. President Biden weighed in on the war in the Middle East today at the White House, where he's hosting Australia's prime minister.
The president says he has not asked the Israeli prime minister to hold off on a ground invasion against Hamas until the safety of the hostages can be assured.
What I have indicated to him is that if that's possible to get these folks out safely, that's what he should do.
But when the war is over, Mr. Biden says the U.S. would like to see a two-state solution because the status quo is not sustainable. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
Former President Trump's trying to get his fraud case tossed in New York after a second day of testimony from former fixer Michael Cohen.
He said Trump did nothing wrong.
Attorneys for the former president asked for a dismissal of the New York civil case following Cohen's testimony, in which he said Trump did not ask him to inflate the value of his assets. The judge said, quote, absolutely denied that he does not consider Cohen to be a key witness and that there's plenty of other pertinent evidence. The judge also fined Trump $10,000 for violating a gag order by attacking his clerk. Wendy Gillette, CBS News, New York.
A former poison specialist is facing murder charges now in Minnesota for giving his wife a lethal dose of a drug used to treat gout. Spoiler alert, her loved ones say she never had gout and tried to stop an order to get her cremated.
Nothing seemed out of place or unusual. Or I start to look back now and you think, well, you know, maybe, well, what was that about? Well, it's just, you just start getting haunted by little things that you would think nothing of at the time, because why would you?
Her husband had taken out a pricey life insurance policy on her, too. Dozens of people in 22 states are getting sick with salmonella. Here's CBS's Allison Keyes.
Gill's Onions has recalled packages of diced yellow onions, red onions, onions and celery, and a mix of onions, celery, and carrots. The FDA and CDC are investigating the outbreak.
And on Wall Street, the Dow lost 105 points today. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
I'm calling it early. Kohl's is the best place to shop for gifts. I got a Sephora beauty set for under $50. Then I scored a cute sweater for just $24.99 and saved big on a Ninja pressure cooker. Plus, I got 20% off some of my finds, $10 off because I spent over $50, and earned Kohl's cash. So hurry to Kohl's and thank me later. Select styles, Sephora coupons, and Kohl's cash do not apply. Some exclusions apply. Offers end October 29th. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Exergen thermometers are a top choice of medical professionals at highly ranked hospitals across the U.S. With kids back at school, keeping them healthy is important. Make Exergen thermometer the chosen thermometer for your home or business to check for fever, where accuracy matters. When measuring temperature at home and at work, use an Exergen thermometer to keep your family and colleagues safe. Available at Walgreens and other participating retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com.
A Hollywood star is getting noticed for her latest project, but it's not great.
Actress Michelle Williams has gone viral for her narration of Britney Spears' new book and a portion about her 1990s boyfriend, Justin Timberlake.
NSYNC hung out with black artists. Sometimes I thought they tried too hard to fit in.
The gotcha line?
Walking our way was a guy with a huge blinged out medallion. Jay got all excited and said so loud, oh yeah, faux shiz, genuine, what's up, homie?
Comments on the Audible clips range from it's art to Williams is going to get a Grammy for this. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
The NHL is now reversing a ban on pride tape after getting backlash from its players and from LGBTQ advocates. The league, players' union, and a committee on inclusion have agreed to give players the option to represent social causes with stick tape during warm-ups, practices, and games, and that includes rainbow-colored pride tape. Monica Ricks, CBS News.
WJJQ Radio Sports Time, 6:05 p.m. Good Wednesday evening. I'm Alex Cook. You're tuned into the Sports Queue here on WJJQ. 53 degrees under overcast skies. Here's your weather forecast from Tony Schumacher. Tony?
The forecast for northern Wisconsin for tonight, we'll see overcast skies with a 70% chance of showers developing before morning, low in the upper 40s. Tomorrow, a 90% chance of rain at times, maybe a thunderstorm as well, high in the mid to upper 50s, east wind around 10. Scattered showers tomorrow night, tapering to drizzle, low in the mid 40s. Friday, mainly cloudy and breezy, scattered showers likely, high at 54. It will be much cooler for the weekend with highs in the upper 30s, lows in the 20s. A small chance of drizzle and flurries late Saturday and Saturday night. Dry on Sunday, then Monday partly sunny, chance of a snow shower north. I'm meteorologist Tony Schumacher from the WJJQ Weather Center.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Sports Queue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here on this Wednesday evening. Hope you're having a good day. It's now time for our Hatchet segment here on the Sports Queue on WJJQ. Joining me live and in studio is Tomahawk Head Cross Country Coach Connor Ahrens. Connor, welcome back to the show. Thank you for joining me.
Alex, thanks for having me back.
Yeah, absolutely. Your season ended a little bit earlier than I think people expected this past season. Let's go ahead and just recap it then. What did you think of your team's performance this year?
Well, overall, the team's performance for the entire year was, I mean, fantastic, because we progressed both on the girls' side and the boys' side this year. And you can see that's evidence in the sectional. I mean, you can even look back at last year. Sure, the girls got third in the other section that we ran in, but we honestly weren't that close to qualifying. Whereas this year, it was just a 5-point difference, and we were right there with those other girls' teams. And the boys, I mean, last year, look at sectionals, they took 9th, and this year they got 5th. I mean, huge improvement. And I mean, in the conference, too, both teams improved. So it's just great. The whole overall season, they were making progress throughout the season with their goals that we keep track of in their logbooks. And I mean, every practice you could see this team getting better throughout the season.
Yeah, both teams finished in the top two in the conference meet as well. Girls ended up taking home the conference title. Boys finished second behind Lakeland. Going through the list also, let's go through the all-conference roster really quickly, because that was released. 10 players represent Tomahawk in the all-conference roster. 3 boys, 7 girls. What was it like coaching this team this year?
You know, honestly, it wasn't as much work as the first year, not just because being a second-year coach, the first year is a lot more work because you're getting used to it, but more work was on this, actually, you're hinting at the senior class. I mean, they did a lot of the work for us, managing the team within the team. Instead of us coaches having to do the everyday process, those seniors and those captains would take the team and basically be like, hey, so here's what we got to do, and this is how we need to get better. And they would have their own meetings outside of practice, which made things immensely better because we didn't have to worry about any kind of behaviors or just working on just keeping everybody motivated throughout the season. I don't think we really ever had much of a talk with motivation for either team. And that was just because of the senior captains.
Well, speaking of honors, talking here with Tomahawk head cross country coach Connor Ahrens on the Sports Q on WJJQ. Connor, you were recently named the girls cross country Great Northern Conference Coach of the Year this year. Congratulations to you. How does it feel to have that honor?
Oh, thank you very much. I mean, it feels great, and especially because it's all due in large part to that girls' performance at conference. I mean, I couldn't have been happier. All of us, the whole coaching staff, we were ecstatic when we saw those girls race. And we knew, I mean, even at the 2-mile, with how confident and strong those girls looked coming through at the 2-mile, it was just, it's like, hey, they got it. Today's their day. And I mean, to have that all come together on conference was truly awesome. I mean, the guys getting second too, it was, we were floating in the clouds that day. And to be named GNC Coach of the Year is just a nice little cherry on top, but it's because of this team and those kids, those student athletes.
Connor, you previously mentioned the senior captains about this team, you know, just trying to make sure that everyone was held accountable, everyone achieved their goals. What are you going to remember the most about the senior class this year?
It's a good question. Honestly, thinking back, it's all the different ways they would make practice fun, because when you look at cross country and the sport of basically it's running, right? Most folks are like, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you have fun running, but it's honestly looking back at what those captains and those seniors, both boys and girls, what they did. I mean, making it fun for their team, whether it was a dress up day, whether or not they were making it a competition within each other to see what they could run. And throughout the day, just pumping each other up for the workout later that day. I mean, that's what made a huge difference for us.
And talking here with Tomahawk head cross country coach Connor Ahrens here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. Connor, obviously we've now hit the off season again. I don't think anyone honestly expected the season to come to an end, but what are you going to expect about the returning runners in the off season?
Well, I think they got a great taste of what it is to run in that off-season competition zone, and they saw the desire from the upperclassmen just to see it, and I think it rubbed off on them. And I'm expecting to see the team fire up and get ready for the next season, because honestly, the girls were just right there. It could have gone either way for both Shawno, Medford, and ourselves, and it just so happened we were on the short end of that stick. But, I mean, these kids, with how motivated they were this year, I am not going to be surprised when they come back ready to fire up for either track season and then summer mileage, getting ready for the upcoming cross season. Because, I mean, the boys even improved too immensely. I mean, within the sectional, taking 5th is huge for them. And they were all getting fired up when we were talking about where they need to be, what their paces need to be, who they need to be running by for the sectional meet to make some of this stuff happen. And I think with the returners we have coming back for this year, I think we can expect good things to come down the road.
So as we go ahead and wrap a bow on the 2023 cross-country season, Connor, I'm going to give you some final thoughts. Go ahead.
Well, honestly, some of the final thoughts that I have looking back was it all started at the beginning. the beginning of the season with us at Bon Falls Cross Country Camp, it was a lot smoother this year. Mainly, I mean, we definitely had camp a little more dialed in, but it was mainly due to the kids. I mean, their behaviors, their attitudes, the way they handled themselves. I mean, we usually teach them dynamics. You know, up at camp, we run through a lot of basic things that we'd like to have for the season coming in. Dynamics is just one of them. This is just one example. But I look over when we were at camp and up over the little ridge where we do dynamics, and before I could even go to instruct it, our captains are already leading dynamics. I mean, you could tell right then and there, hey, this is going to be a different season. And I mean, from the get-go, from Bon Falls on to the team accepting the challenge running at against Division I and II schools up at or over in Menominee, and then carrying on from there, I mean, they're competitors and they want to compete, and that is huge for our sport because it's mainly mind over matter with running. Because you can have a bad day and a good day, but it's how you take that feedback and then how you get ready for the next race mentally. Physically, if you follow the training, and just about every single one of these kids did, you will be ready physically, but it's more mental than anything. And these kids did just that this season.
Very well said. Tomahawk head cross country coach Connor Aaron's wrapping up the 2023 season here on the Sports Q and WJJQ. Connor, thank you very much for joining me throughout the course of the season. Definitely enjoyed talking with you. And here's to 2024.
Well, absolutely. And I was going to say another thought that I had. I mean, going back to thanking the seniors for their awesome passion and effort every day at practice and meets, and for their 4 years of commitment for most of them, and going making a shout out to those parents that support our program that make everything such a smooth process from start to finish. I mean, the parents put in so much work for our program, so I got to reach out and thank all of the cross-country parents out there.
Again, well said. Connor Aarons, thank you for joining me.
Thank you much, Alex.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back to talk about Giannis's contract extension and what that means for the Bucks championship window. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Make sure your furnace is ready for the upcoming Northwoods winter with a Carrier Home Comfort System from Hilge's LP Gas. Bringing comfort to your home is Hilge's LP Gas of Tomahawk's top priority, and with a complete lineup of furnace systems, Carrier and Hilge's are dedicated to improving your quality of life by creating a comfortable, healthy living environment. Remember last winter? Well, yeah, don't wait until the snow flies this year. Get your new Carrier furnace now. Carrier, turn to the experts at Hilge's LP Gas, South Tomahawk Avenue, or Hilge's.com online. Call Hilge's at 453-3505.
Whether you grew up with a fluffer nutter sandwich packed in your lunchbox, or you're known to add a swipe of peanut butter to your s'more, Dairy Queen's Royal Blizzard Reese's Fluffer Nutter is a flavor combo you don't want to miss. At the center of Royal Reese's Fluffer Nutter Blizzard, surrounded by our world-famous soft serve, mixed with Reese's Peanut Butter Cups and marshmallow. Relive your childhood with Dairy Queen's Royal Reese's Fluffer Nutter Blizzard. Nobody does ice cream like Dairy Queen. Open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. located on North 4th Street, overlooking the Wisconsin River.
Summer has come to an end, but fall is upon us, and so are the deals in October at Brickner Motors in Little Chicago. During Jeep Adventure Days, get a new 2023 Gladiator Sport for 15% off MSRP, the most capable and adaptable midsize truck. Drive in style in a new 2023 Grand Cherokee or the new third-row Grand Cherokee L. Now, during Jeep Adventure Days, get 10% off MSRP. Also, 10% off MSRP on new 2023 Jeep Compass and Renegade. Changing seasons also means current year model sell down so we can make room for incoming new 2024 models. Select inventory bonus cash on in-stock new 2023 Ram 1500 2500 Crew Cab, Tradesman, Bighorn, and Laramie models. Gas and diesel receive an additional $1,000 for being here on Little Chicago's northeast side, on top of all other incentives. The new 2023 Ram 1500 Bighorn and Laramie models are offering 2.9% for 72 months, or up to $7,000 in total incentives. Financed with Chrysler Capital to approved credit, see dealer for details.
Foley's Tree Service, caring for your trees since 1980. This is Ted Foley, ISA certified arborist and second generation family owner. Our employees are trained and educated professionals who respect your property as if it was their own. Whether it is tree removals, pruning, stump grinding, lot and land clearing, tree preservation, or even storm damage cleanup, we are here when you need us. Call us at 715-453-2407. Or for our Monaco listeners, 715-358-2406. Check us out online at foleystreeservice.com. Foley's Tree Service, fully insured and offering free estimates.
welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Yes, this is the metalhead in me breaking out a little bit of Metallica Master of Puppets. Can never go wrong with a little bit of Metallica in your life. Never can go wrong with a little bit of heavy metal in your life. But you know what? Enough about the music. You came here to talk sports. Let's get into the Milwaukee Bucks, shall we?
Holiday rips it away. 16 seconds to go to Giannis. Slam it! How about that?
All right. Let's dive right into it, shall we? So, this is one of my favorite times of the year, the NBA season beginning. I am a huge Milwaukee Bucks fan, in case you did not pick up on that. The reason why I am such a big Bucks fan is because of the fact that I went to games so much as a kid, and I still love that organization to the day, even when they went through the dark years. Remember the dark years that I talked about with the Milwaukee Bucks, with the Green Bay Packers in the 70s and 80s? The dark years for Milwaukee were in the late 90s to early 2000s. They had a bit of a run, you know, in the early 2000s with Sam Cassell and Glenn Robinson and Ray Allen and those guys. But now the Bucks are a consistent championship contender, and they emphasize that obviously with trading Damian Lillard, but they also extend their championship window with Giannis Antetokounmpo re-signing to be a member of the Milwaukee Bucks. And to make it rain here with the money that he worked, that he got 3 years, $186 million. That's worth $62 million a year, essentially the same deal that the Lakers gave Anthony Davis. And judging from what happened last night, I have a feeling that the Lakers are already regretting giving Davis that money. Now, let me tell you what this means for the Bucks as a team. What this means for Milwaukee is that their championship window just got extended by another few years. We thought that it was two, possibly 3 years, you know, going into the final season because we had Damian Lillard, Chris Middleton still had just signed a 3-year deal. Brooke Lopez had a 2-year deal. Bobby Portis had 2 years left on his deal. So we thought that it was going to be probably the end of next season was when we would expect Milwaukee to go through a turn. Now that just got extended another 3 years. Because Giannis Antetokounmpo and Damian Lillard are now under contract until 2028, player option during that final year with the contracts that they've signed. Lillard and Giannis, they will be here to stay for the next 4 to 5 years in Milwaukee. That's 4 years of being another consistent championship contender on top of the 4 years that they have previously, on top of the 5 years that they previously had. That means being a consistent championship contender for 10 years in a small market in the NBA, which is honestly unheard of because we are not used to small markets being consistent contenders, consistent championship contenders in the NBA. It just doesn't happen. It's the Lakers. It's the Celtics. Sometimes you'll get a Miami Heat, and then other times you'll get a team like Denver that ends up winning the whole thing. Every once in a while, you'll get Detroit that wins a title. You'll get Philadelphia that wins a title. Not Milwaukee. Not a small market like Milwaukee. And Chicago is still a pretty big market, even though they've had Michael Jordan there for, you know, 13 years. So let me tell you what this means for the Bucks also. I have a very sneaky suspicion that good karma could very well be at play. Very similar to what happened during in between the COVID year and the year the Bucks won the title. Allow me to explain. In 2020, the Bucks had Eric Bledsoe, who was talented. He was a pit bull. He was a rough rider, but he just could not shoot the ball consistently from the perimeter. So as a result, the Bucks had to trade Eric Bledsoe in a three-team trade to get Jrue Holiday to come here. And Jrue Holiday is an upgrade from Eric Bledsoe. What happened the next year? They won the title. Jrue Holiday, as much as everyone liked him, and I loved him when he was a player, he is not Damian Lillard. Let's just call it what it is. He's not Damian Lillard, honestly. I know that there's a drop-off defensively between the two, but you cannot make up for dropping, for pulling up from 35. You just don't make up for it. Also, Giannis, after the COVID season, signed a 5-year extension to stay in Milwaukee. This year, it's a 3-year extension to stay in Milwaukee. I have a feeling that we could see Milwaukee back in the NBA championship and potentially winning it all. Boston is going to be a very tough out. Philadelphia, there's a lot of question marks about them with James Harden, who the Bucks end up playing tomorrow night to open up their season. You got Miami up there. I don't know how good Miami's going to be. And the rest of the East, to me, is a wash. Brooklyn, You know, there are really just two teams that are going to fight for the Eastern Conference title. That's going to be Milwaukee and Boston. That's what it boils down to. I don't think that there is a team that can unseat one of those two teams. I have a feeling that we'll see those two teams in the Eastern Conference Finals. So, Bucks open the 2023-24 regular season tomorrow night at Pfizer Forum as they take on the Philadelphia 76ers. All eyes are going to be on Giannis and Lillard. The game will be nationally broadcast on TNT. The biggest question mark coming into this season is going to be Chris Middleton's health, because he had a knee injury all of last season. He was essentially beat pretty much, and the Bucks still had the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. So a fully healthy Middleton with Lillard and Giannis, and by the way, Middleton has gone on record saying that he is okay with being the number three option. That's a very good thing and a very selfless thing. Now, the one thing I'm going to be looking for in this game, again, is who is going to be the fifth starter? Who's going to be the fifth starter? There's been talk about Bobby Portis being in the mix. There's talks about Marjon Beauchamp. Justin Garcia likes Marjon Beauchamp being in the starting lineup. Potentially Pat Connaughton. But it's going to be very curious to see who they decide to put in that lineup. And the 76ers are going into the season with a lot of question marks surrounding them, around Joel Embiid and around James Harden specifically. They do still have Embiid, who is one of the top 10 players in the NBA. He's right at like that number 5-6 range if you want to go that route. And they also have Tyrese Maxey, who's a very good two-way guard, so please be on the lookout for that. That's a look at the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm expecting 55 to 60 wins this season. Bucks will probably finish in the top two seeds in the Eastern Conference, and whoever gets Game 7 at home in the Eastern Conference Finals in a series between Milwaukee and Boston will probably win the series. It's just my honest opinion. NBA season underway. Let's go ahead and get right into it. This is the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. When we come back, NFL predictions are next. I'll also recap the scores from last week. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Get on board at Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Outboards serves their fantastic menu selections from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. daily. Stop on by for happy hour from 2 until 5, Monday through Thursday. Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk, features their Friday fish fry with cod, walleye, shrimp, and catch of the day. It's Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Get on board. John J. Shuni Construction is a family-owned company serving the area with trucking, excavating, and Wausau Homes. Their Wausau Homes Design Studio is at 1708 North 4th Street in Tomahawk, and they're ready to help make every home buyer's experience an enjoyable one from start to finish. Call 453-2015 for excavating, trucking, and Wausau Homes from John J. Shuni Construction of Tomahawk.
Premier Heating and Cooling, your local Lennox dealer, would like to remind you the cold weather season is on the way. Make sure your furnace is ready. Lennox makes the air warmer, drier, cleaner, and better with innovative systems that are exceptionally quiet and energy efficient to save you money. Ask about the buy one and get one free special on a Wi-Fi enabled thermostat with a qualifying purchase of a heating and cooling unit. Call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700 for a free estimate for your Lennox heating needs and great service after the sale, with special protection plan memberships available. Lennox innovation never felt so good. Premier Heating and Cooling, serving customers from Weston to Woodruff and locations in between. Call 453-4700, online at premierheatingcooling.com, or their showroom at the intersection of Muskellunge Lake Road and County Road A, Tomahawk.
We want your business to grow as much as you do. Hi, I'm Carla at Crossbridge Community Bank. There are a lot of things that make banking with us different, but for our area businesses, it's the flexibility and responsiveness we offer. Our loan decisions are made locally, plus we can work fast and offer options when you need them the most. We are the only community bank chartered in Lincoln County and owned by you, the depositors. Your success is our success. Stop in and see what it means to work with a bank that puts purpose first. Visit us online at crossbridge.bank.
Welcome back to the Sports Queue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this wonderful Wednesday evening. Let's quickly go over the scores from last week's NFL action here, shall we? And I think I may need to find a new profession when it comes to my predictions, because I went 4-9 this week.
Brilliant. I have absolutely no idea what's going on.
And it was also a weird week in the NFL.
I'm living in a cuckoo clock.
And it was clear to me that I screwed up royally.
Exactly.
Scores from last week. Jacksonville over New Orleans, 31-24. Baltimore over Detroit, 38-6. And then that's when the losses and predictions came. Giants over Washington, 14-7. New England over Buffalo, 29-25. Chicago over Vegas, 30-12. Atlanta over Tampa Bay, 16-13. Cleveland winning a wild one over Indianapolis, 39-38. Pittsburgh over the Rams, 24-17. Seattle over Arizona, 20-10. Kansas City over the Chargers, 31-17. Denver over Green Bay, 19-17. Philadelphia over Miami, 31-17. And Minnesota over San Francisco, 22-17. Those are the scores from Week 7. Now, without further ado, let's go ahead and dive into our Week 8 NFL predictions. Kicking things off with the Thursday night game between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Buffalo Bills. We'll have that broadcast for you here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ, coverage beginning at 6:30 and kickoff at 7:15. Tampa Bay's hit a bit of a snag. They've lost their last two. They got another tough opponent in Buffalo. Bills have also lost to the New England Patriots. I think the Bills will bounce back. I think it'll be a tight game, but I think Buffalo will end up getting the win 28-21. By the way, as I go into this, no teams have a bye this week, so everybody plays. Packers at home against the Vikings. I'm waiting for Green Bay to break this three-game skid. Minnesota coming off of an upset win over San Francisco, which was surprising. I do have the Packers winning this game. I think they'll do just enough offensively to get the win 20-19. Dallas and the Rams. Rams coming away with a close loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Still trying to figure out what this team is, really. Matt Stafford has been performing well, but not, you know, Super Bowl level well like he did a few years ago. Dallas Cowboys coming off a bye week. I think the Cowboys and the Rams, this will be a pretty even game. Dallas winning 24-21. Jets against the Giants.
All hail the New York Giants.
New York Giants!
But unfortunately, Giants, it's not going to be you winning this one.
Wah, wah, wah.
Jets win 20-17. Philadelphia against Washington. Again, this will be a competitive game. 28-24, I think the Eagles bounce back and get the victory. I think they make it two in a row. I think the Commanders are in deep trouble because they cannot protect their quarterback, Sam Howell. Moving on to Jacksonville at Pittsburgh. This is going to be a very interesting game, in my honest opinion. I think that the Jaguars are a very good team. I think the Steelers have a good defense. Their offense leaves a little bit to be desired, but it comes and goes in spurts. I think Jacksonville will get the win 19-17. It'll be a close, low-scoring game. Pittsburgh specialty, but I think the Jaguars pull it out. Indianapolis at home against New Orleans. Derek Carr going up against Gardner Minshew. An interesting quarterback duel. The Indianapolis Colts, I'm going to go ahead and say it, they deserve to win last week. I think that they take their frustrations out on New Orleans this week. I think they win 24-21. This is an interesting matchup to me. Atlanta at home at Tennessee, excuse me. Titans are going to be likely without Ryan Tannehill, so unsure if it's going to be Malik Willis or if it is going to be Will Levison at starting quarterback for the Titans. Based on that, I'm going to go with the Falcons. I think the Falcons will get 5 wins this season, and I think they pull it off 27-21. Let's go ahead and now move on to the New England Patriots and the Miami Dolphins. I do not expect the Patriots to win back-to-back games. I have been wrong before. Clearly, as you could tell from my predictions last week, going 4-9. But I think it'll be the Miami Dolphins pulling out the victory. I think the final score of the game will be 28-17, Miami. Houston at Carolina, matchup of two rookie quarterbacks, C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young. The Panthers coming off a bye week. Texans are also coming off a bye. I think the Texans are a better team than Carolina, and I think that their better coach, D'Amico Ryans, is doing a good job with that team so far. I think Houston ends up winning 23-21. Seattle and Cleveland. I was high on the Browns to begin the season. They're currently 4-2, and that's with them playing three quarterbacks already. They've already played Deshaun Watson, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, and P.J. Walker. Watson is likely going to be out this week. I'm going to guess that P.J. Walker starts for them. I think Seattle will show up, though. I think they'll get the win at home 24-20. Baltimore and Arizona. This is going to be an Arizona specialty. They'll play incredibly hard for about 2.5, 3 quarters where they are ultimately out-talented, and I think that'll be the case. It'll be close, but I think Baltimore gets the win 28-20. San Francisco at home against Cincinnati. I initially picked San Francisco to win this game. Now we got the news that Brock Purdy is now in concussion protocol. So there is a possibility that he may not play. And they may have to turn to Sam Darnold this upcoming Sunday. I'm going to pick the Niners just because I think that Purdy is going to go. I'm going to operate on the fact that Purdy plays. I got San Francisco winning by 3. Kansas City at home at Denver. Kansas City at Denver. Chiefs ended up beating the Broncos 19-8. I think this will be a lot more similar to the matchup last year at Denver between these two teams. I think that it'll be Kansas City winning 31-17. I think Mahomes is just too good. Now we got our Sunday night game. We'll have the broadcast of this one for you here on WJJQ. Coverage at 6:30, kickoff at 7:15. Bears at Chargers. Very, very weird Thursday night matchup. Tyson Bagent getting the start at quarterback for Chicago. Chargers are going to roll with Justin Herbert again. I think the Chargers are going to win 31-20. I think that the Bears will come back down to reality a little bit after beating Vegas last week. And then our final game, Monday night game, between Detroit and the Raiders. I got the Lions winning this game. The Raiders, to me, they are a team that is so perplexingly puzzling, I can't even understand it. I'm going to go with the Lions to win this one, 30-17. I think that end of the season now, Josh McDaniels will end up being fired. The loss to Chicago and this loss to Detroit will be telling indicators. So again, Detroit over Vegas, 30-17. Those are my Week 8 NFL predictions here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'll be back to wrap things up after this.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Cube on WJJQ.
Is your furniture still too nice to throw out, but you need something different? No worries. We take trade-ins and offer great deals every day at Tomahawk Furniture and Gun. Stop in at 109 West Wisconsin Avenue to see our latest lineup and all your hunting needs too. Did you hear? We opened a second location as well. Our new and used furniture and mattress outlet is located at 730 East 2nd Street in downtown Merrill. That's right, two great locations for all your wants and needs. It's Tomahawk Furniture and Gun, downtown Tomahawk, right next to the Pine Tree Supper Club, and our Merrill Furniture and Mattress Outlet on East 2nd Street. Price is so low, you've got to bend over to see them.
Come on, come on, choose health and motion for you.
Hi, this is Stephanie Ahrens, Doctor of Physical Therapy at Health and Motion in Tomahawk. Health and Motion is a therapist-owned outpatient clinic with 8 locations in northern Wisconsin. Our skilled providers treat a wide variety of musculoskeletal conditions, post-surgical cases, vertigo, jaw pain, and many more. Here at Health in Motion, we value our one-on-one time with patients using treatments backed by research and cutting-edge technology to get our patients better faster and with greater satisfaction. Give us a call to schedule an evaluation or a complimentary 15-minute screen with one of our therapists. Majority of the time, we can get you scheduled within 48 hours. Simply call 453-6650 or look at our website, himwi.com.
So come on!
Here's a look at your Northwoods 92.5 forecast. Overcast tonight with a chance for isolated showers. Lows around 48. Winds out of the east 5 to 10 miles per hour. High of 57. Tomorrow, isolated thunderstorms likely. Scattered thunderstorms again. Tomorrow night, 46. Cloudy. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki, and that's your forecast on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Currently, it's 52 degrees.
The Auto House in Tomahawk is your trusted destination for top-of-the-line vehicles and exceptional service. They're here to help you get ready for fall and winter driving season, and yes, it's that time of year. With a rich history, Gary and his Auto House family have been offering service to our Northwoods communities for over 40 years, and you're invited to check out the Auto House inventory with the best selection of vehicles in the area. Cars, trucks, SUVs, there's over 40 units to choose from. That makes your journey to find the perfect vehicle enjoyable, and more importantly, stress-free. If you need a temporary ride, Gary has you covered with a selection of rental vehicles, and if you need service on your existing vehicle or to get it ready for fall and winter driving, make an appointment with the ASC certified technician at the Auto House, doing business the right way. The Auto House on North 4th Street in Tomahawk, online at autohousecars.net. That's A-U-T-O-H-A-U-S cars.net at the Auto House in Tomahawk.
Welcome back. to the Sports Queue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ, wrapping things up here. Thank you once again for letting me be a part of your day. Taking a look at Hatchet sporting events and local events coming up. Next Hatchet event is the Girls Swimming Sectional Meet. That'll be at Prairie River Middle School down in Merrill. That'll be on November 4th. We'll chat with Tomahawk Head Swimming Coach Melissa Neiman and Senior Paige Dekeep next week. First Hatchet broadcast of the 2023 winter sports season is going to be girls basketball with their season opener. That'll be in Butternut on November 16th. Fairman Orthodontics pregame show will be at 6:50, tip-off at 7:15. Terry Tim will join me in the broadcast booth on that night. And again, if you want to check out the rest of the broadcasts that we have for the month of November, they are posted in the WJJQ Sports Broadcast Schedule. All you got to do is go to WJJQ.com, go to local sports, and click on Sports Broadcast Schedule. Well, we still got some football also on tap. Football playoffs are in action for the Northern Woods and Great Northern Conference. We have three Level 2 playoff matchups to go in Division 6. Number 5 seed Coleman after knocking off number 4 seed Luther. We'll take on number 1 seed in Division 6, Auburndale. That'll kick off at 7 o'clock on Friday night. In Division 3, number 2 seed in Division 3, Medford, who knocked off Hayward in their first round matchup will take on number 3 seed in D3 on Alaska. That is going to be a good one. On Alaska knocked off Rhinelander last week. Number 2 in Division 4, Mosinee, who knocked off number 7 Bloomer last week. They will be playing against number 6 in Division 4, Somerset. They were the team that upset O'Connell Falls last week. All of those games get underway this Friday at 7 o'clock. Thank you once again for letting me be a part of your day. I'll be back next week for the Sports Queue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk. Thank you once again for tuning in. Have a sportacular day, and I will see you next time.
Hi-ya!
Been listening to the Sports Queue on WJJQ. Be sure to join again next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for the latest sports news around the state and in our Northwoods community, right here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk.